This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutin, and with me Ibrahim Sani and Julian Ng with the top business stories of the day. Looks like we have China and Japan in our crosshairs. First up, Chinese Premier Li Keqiang told audiences at the World Economic Forum that all foreign companies in China have got a sweet return on their investments. But Li Keqiang did say that even foreign companies had encountered problems doing business in China. Even those that have are still doing well.
You know, this event is being dubbed as the Summer Davos event. It's a WEF program that's being done in China. High-profile business leaders are present, including Salesforce.com boss Mark Benioff, Travis Kalanick of Uber, as well as the boss of Xiaomi. And for Li Keqiang to actually mention this and address them directly, and he even solicited questions, right, from these bosses, and that's just basically asking them to invest more in China.
I think China is right now going on some kind of a PR offensive because the economy is said to be in trouble. But I'm wondering if this is a kind of sweeping statement that the premier is making, because every business that does business in China will make money. I don't know. I mean, have
maybe,
we not...
I just think instead of Malaysia, right? Margins might be shrinking, but still, it's still worthwhile doing business in Malaysia.
Yeah, but he's saying that most businesses that do business there in China will make a profit. I mean, have we not heard of the mantra high risk, high returns, right? So if you want to make a lot of profits, you got to take that high risk. And if you're taking high risk, obviously some companies will fail. And I'm not sure if there is some kind of survivorship bias here where your data only looks good because you're only looking at the successful people, right? The Jack Ma's of the world. How many have tried achieving that unicorn status and failed?
Perhaps even millions. But that's the whole concept of pitching, right? You only present the best ideas forward.
Well, I think it's called cherry picking. When you only look at...
Yes, that's a better word than survivorship bias.
But of course, you know, the Chinese economy has... I think they would not be, can't be accused of not looking squarely at some of the problems. I mean, with the steel industry, at least with local industries, they have been taking the bull by the horns, haven't they? And paring down those kind of commitments.
I don't know if that's being proactive or just reacting to the situation.
Yeah, but there are companies that are doubling down their bets in China. Pfizer is also there as well. They plan to invest up to $350 million in the Chinese biotech hub. And this facility will basically facilitate many of these development of drugs and other programs by Pfizer in China.
Yeah, I mean, just going back to what you said about the steel industry, the Chinese government expects about 100 to 150 million tons of excess steel and 800 million tons of coal-making capacity to be addressed. There is this structural overcapacity problem over there in China. And when you talk about moving into the digital economy as a savior to the Chinese economy, I'm not sure if also this is substituting something for something else, right? You've got the old economy and now you're substituting it with a new economy so that the net effect would be something that is quite muted because you've got to wind down the old businesses unless you can expand globally. Now, we know that the tech sector in China is largely a closed sector. The Googles and Apples of the world are trying to get into China, but they can't really sell to the Chinese, right? So is there a quid pro quo here? I know that Pfizer announced to set up this technological hub over there in China. And that's because lucrative spending over there is going to be so lucrative. Healthcare is so going to be lucrative over there in China.
It's not just the healthcare business, because Li Keqiang in that same event also argues that digital is the next key to China's industrial revolution. We know that China is moving away from manufacturing to now services, and that in that services, that subsector there is the digital segment. China is also becoming one of the world's biggest e-commerce market. And because of this, I think they want that peripheral or surrounding activities to support that e-commerce through digital business.
Well, China is also joining the league of large economies. You're talking about the second largest economy in the world and increasingly a medicated society, right? So Pfizer would want to export their ideas of medication from the United States to China.
I mean, China does have as advantage a huge domestic market, isn't it? In many countries, Malaysia, for instance, has a very small domestic market, and we rely on our trade to these large economies. But China, in facing some of these difficulties, can turn inwards, as it were, looking at its domestic market to drive the economy, couldn't it?
Yeah, they can. And I think that for a long time, they've had these so-called strategic industries where they shut out the foreign investor. And therefore, a lot of investments have gone into right now unproductive society, but industries.
Enterprises.
Enterprises. But right now, if you're trying to expand on the digital economy, will you in the same way open up to foreigners as you would as a local company going into foreign markets? Is there a quid pro quo situation?
It's very difficult actually to get this done because they have blocked the Great Firewall of China, some interesting websites, including Google and YouTube. So how are they going to advance on the economy if they block some of these knowledge-based websites?
Okay, moving across the sea from China to Japan, an app based in Japan called LINE will aim to raise as much as $1.3 billion in a dual Tokyo, New York listing. LINE is a rival to WhatsApp. They're largely sticking to their earlier target despite market turmoil following the Brexit vote.
Yeah, so this is very important because they plan to go for equities rather than the normal app way of doing things through the debt financing. And right now, any features that differentiate WhatsApp is always being comparable because they are a direct one-to-one differentiating factor. Now, WhatsApp was bought out by Facebook by billions of dollars, and they didn't even have to go to IPO. So I think LINE has to rethink their strategy on funding structure, and IPO has to be one of them.
Well, the differences between WhatsApp and LINE, WhatsApp has a billion subscribers. LINE has about one-fifth of that. So if you look at the valuation, $6.6 billion, I don't know whether they have any profits, but it's certainly almost seven times a unicorn, but just a fraction of the valuation of WhatsApp back in the day when Facebook took it over. So $7 billion valuation is one third of what WhatsApp was valued at a few years ago.
So it's still valuable because of the perhaps the potential of growth. Right now, they are big in other countries outside Japan, including Taiwan, Thailand, and Indonesia. And because of the growth population of these countries, they might see a growth in user usage as well.
I wonder if there's a kind of cultural dimension to this. If you look at LINE has a lot of this cutesy stuff, especially with its stickers. And I wonder if that just appeals to the Japanese market more than, say, to an American market.
You know what they say, right? Kawaii, the cute thing.
That's right, the cute factor.
Yeah, I think that if you look at the various applications for messaging, there is certainly a cultural element there. Because if you look at LINE, their concentration is in Japan, whereas WeChat is concentrated in China. And I don't know how many of you use WeChat on a regular basis. I don't. I mean, WhatsApp is my main messenger. But, you know, you can do e-commerce on WeChat. WeChat is sort of this hybrid messaging system that lumps everything together, right? The Facebook, e-commerce, and so on. So it's very different. It only has 1% share in the US, but China has 80% share.
Yeah, in fact, WeChat is the only messaging service there, particularly when you have that timeline thing going on. So yeah, you do e-commerce on WeChat.
Yeah, an interesting comparison. Viber has 37% of the Indian market as compared to 1% of the US market. So some of these, maybe they started early. At any rate, they seem to be appealing to that particular domestic market and doing, taking a lion's share of that market.
Did you say lion's share?
A lion's share. Lion. Oh, no.
Trying to pun.
Yeah, that would have been too easy and lame, yeah. I think.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.